Language.
Welcome to another episode of Collective Language. Today I'm your host, Johan, Rohan, however you want to call me. Today I'm here with my friend
Emma.
Emma. What are your pronouns, Emma?
She, they.
And Emma's been here for a while. And she's about to move to Mexico. And I'm really happy that I got to get her in the podcast before you leave for real. Oh my God, I'm so excited about this episode. Let's start. Where are you from?
I'm from Palo Alto, California.
Palo Alto, California, right. And you have your family in San Francisco too, right?
Yeah.
Did you live there too?
Like, I lived there, yeah, basically growing up and then moved to the East Coast for college.
And what area is Palo Alto?
It's near San Francisco.
Oh, I see. Okay, you're very close there. Mm-hmm. So how did you end up here in New York?
I originally came here mostly to dance. One of my friends from school started a dance company a couple years after they graduated. And so they kind of jokingly were like, oh, do you want to come and dance in our dance company? And I was like, is this a joke or is this for real? Because yes, I would.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So you took it for real and just end up here, like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. And how did you find Collective Focus?
I think I might have just found it like walking around.
Okay.
I remember the first event I went to was a wellness fair. It was like September 2022. And Halo taught like a dance class and it was so, so fun. And I, got to meet a lot of people.
Was it outside?
Like, yeah.
I think I was doing one table that day.
Yeah. I met Dev.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, were you living around this area back then?
Yeah, I was living just down like Bushwick Ave.
And are you still around this area or have you moved?
Yeah, I'm in Bed-Stuy, close.
Oh, Bed-Stuy is really close, yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about your medium of art. So I'm going to ask you a few questions about that. Mm-hmm. You mentioned you dance. So that would you say that's your medium, dancing?
I would say dance. And then I also do this thing called scribing, which is like a mix of illustration and facilitation and note-taking. So it's like creating images from conversations and using visual metaphors and things like that.
Wait a minute. So that's why you were so good when you did that, when you closed your eyes and did that little, you draw me.
That activity,
with your eyes closed. And it was so accurate. I was like, that's too good, man.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. That makes sense now. I am like, okay, now secret. I understand. And I remember when I went to the Crown Heights Union.
Tenants Union, yeah.
You were doing also that, right?
Yeah, you were
working on that. It was nice to see you there. So how did you get started into both of those arts?
Yeah, for dance, I started when I was really little. I grew up dancing. I did a lot of like competition dance, did a lot of different styles, so like ballet, jazz, musical theater, acro, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then scribing, I started during the pandemic, I want to say. I saw a lot of people doing it, or a few people, and I started reaching out to them and just being like, oh, this is so cool, I would love to learn more. And they were super generous with their time and experience and like talked to me about a lot of resources that were helpful for them. So
That's
cool. More recent. Yeah.
So you were talking about all those different styles and competition. Do you have a favorite style, and what style do you do the most?
I definitely do contemporary dance the most.
Okay.
And I feel like, that is one of the styles I really enjoy. I was telling a friend the other day that some part of dance feels like a language, you know, and you can be like fluent in different types of ways in different languages, where since I grew up doing a lot of ballet and contemporary dance, I feel like I can speak really clearly almost, as opposed to like other styles, which are really fun, but like I'm more either in like a learning mode, or you know, you're more concentrated on figuring out the moves and the transitions, as opposed to like getting into like emotional pieces of it or the like style of it.
I see. So it's more like your language, right?
Yeah.
Like you completely understand that and you don't need to put your brain to work on it. You just
flow in it. Totally.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so cool. I love to say it that way. Why did you choose that specific medium? Like you mentioned like you started when you were like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But did your parents put you in classes and you liked it, or how did it start?
Yeah, I think I was doing a bunch of different activities as a kid, and, okay. and that was the one I really liked the most.
Oh, cool.
And I feel like now too, it's been a really like wonderful way to make friends and community, something about connecting through dance. And even with like any art, I feel like that's why this space has been so cool, because it is so easy to connect with other artists. Right. There's just like a lot of alignment on things and understanding, like mutual understanding.
And I guess like, I'm guessing this, but you could clear me if it's not this way, but I feel like with the scribe, how you, scribing?
That's yeah, scribing, dance. Yeah.
With the scribing, I feel like you also did it because of the same reason, right? Like to connect with the community and support.
Yeah.
Because that's what I have seen you doing with that.
Yeah, totally. I think it's really nice to be able to, most of it is about listening as much as it is about drawing, but it's
right.
it's about hearing like the themes and what's underlying in those kinds of conversations. And so it's nice to be able to visualize that so people can more clearly see how we're working together, like where there are points of tension, how we can collaborate and things like that.
That's so cool, for real.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad like you have those two pieces of art that you can put your energy into, because they are also like very different, because I feel mm-hmm. like dancing is very energetic, very, you have to be in the moment doing it, you know.
Yeah.
And the other one is also like, it's a little more calm, like you're sitting down, mm-hmm. you're drawing, listening, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like very opposites, but I just love that you are into both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk now about your community involvement. How would you say you're involved right now in your community?
Yeah, I think in terms of, I feel like I see community in a lot of different like lenses. In terms of Bushwick Brooklyn community, I have been a part of Collective Focus, and I used to volunteer for Mil Mundos, which was also a community-based project in Bushwick. And then there's other ways within the dance community that I feel like have been really cool ways to both like share and give feedback to other artists and create spaces where people can like experiment with different types of movement or different ways of performance. And again, kind of engaging that like socially engaged art, which I really like.
Right.
In scribing space, there's not a huge like big digital community. So I really love to connect with people and just like hear more about their story and how they got into it. I used to be part of this group that did a lot of political education around anti-capitalism and artists.
Wow, cool.
And now I have like a book club from that with friends where we're continuing to read and engage and think about all the different ways that we can align our like values with the ways that we show up in the world. So I feel like that's been, yeah, a question that I've been like circling around recently.
That sounds really cool, for real. I really like the book club mention.
Yeah.
Sounds fun. And so the way you're putting it, I also feel like, would you say like your community involvement influenced your art?
I feel like for sure. Those things seem very like inseparable to me.
Right.
It's funny when I was talking with somebody else and they were mentioning, they were like, oh, like art galleries feel very removed. And it's so funny because for me, like I barely think of art as art galleries, you
right,
know, like
right,
being
right,
in so
yeah.
many spaces. Like I'm like, oh no, art is like, you know, the painting on the side of the fridge. Like, so it's funny to like,
yeah
hear that
yeah.
difference.
But there's a lot of like, yeah, there's a lot of different perspective in this city about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, totally.
There's just also so much art in this city.
Yeah.
I really love that. I want to talk about like for you to tell us a little bit more about how you grew up. How was your life growing up?
Yeah. I feel like growing up, I feel very lucky to have had space to dance so much. That was most of what I was doing outside of school. I have a younger sister, Rachel, who I loved spending time with. And my parents were like really supportive and involved, and I felt like I was able to explore a lot of different things that I was interested in, and I feel grateful that like I I really liked school as a space to learn, because I know that's not always the case.
I remember. I met your mom.
Yeah.
She was so nice. She reminded me so much of you. Like, you both are really sweet. Yeah. And you mentioned you have a younger sister,
yeah,
right? Yeah. So it's only the two of you?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And is she still in California?
She actually is in Taiwan right now teaching English for Fulbright.
Teaching English?
Yeah.
Wow. So, for what did you say?
Fulbright. It's like a program where you can teach English abroad.
That's really cool, for real. And you are like the older one, so you have to set the example for her.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see. So I want to ask you, in this community, do you feel like your community support your art?
Yeah, I feel like, especially recently, I've been in a lot of places or have done a lot of things. I think it's a combination of like being able to articulate what I want to do with my art so that people can come and support it in a certain way, you know? Like,
right.
I recently had a dance showing with some friends who have always been talking about like struggling because there aren't enough resources in certain ways for especially dancers in the city, and wanting there to be more collectivity in that. Like a lot of times it feels very competitive in terms of like, oh, there's only a certain number of spots, or like there's only a certain number of grants, blah, blah, blah. And they made this almost, I think they called it like a production studio, so that they could get more grants and do that for themselves. And so it was really, really amazing to see them bring that to life. And then, yeah, I feel really lucky to be able to step into that space and have that as a space for me to show my art and get feedback. Because everybody there was like super, super sweet, super like engaged in making sure that people, could kind of like hear the audience perspective of how their art is landing.
Now that we're talking about this specifically, it just came to my head that you're leaving in a few days,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, you're completely moving there, and it's like you're gonna start from scratch, right?
Yeah.
Kind of. So you kind of have to find again like a community, and
right.
I feel like you have a really nice vibe, and the way you approach people and the way you express yourself, you will probably find people that aligns with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you specifically, what makes you take this, like why are you going specifically there? Is there a specific reason, or why is this happening?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons is because the scribing work that I do here in the city, it's just, you know, me alone doing this, like freelancing and doing mostly virtual stuff. But I have a lot of friends who I met online who live in Mexico City, and they've done like in-person workshops and are interested in hosting more regular practice space. And I think that's something I've seen through dancing that is so useful and like nice to have a physical community around. And I'm really interested in getting to explore that in the scribing space. So that's one of the reasons.
Wow,
and then,
that's
yeah.
so cool that one of your arts connect you.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
It was the bridge to get there.
Yeah.
And in the same kind of topic, I have seen you improving a lot lately in Spanish.
Mm.
And I bet you're doing it because you're also moving there, and you know, the language could be a barrier
mm-hmm.
when you're there. But how would you say, like, did you really like the language, or why did you get so much into it? Because I remember when we did the town hall, you were so good at it. I was really impressed, actually, because I never knew you could speak Spanish so well. Is there somebody else in your family that also speaks Spanish?
My dad's been trying very hard to learn Spanish for a long time, but I had like a lot of really incredible teachers in school,
okay.
and like they, yeah, I think they not only were talking about vocabulary, but a lot of the culture things as well. So like music and like the idioms and just like phrases. And so listening to them talk and getting to learn from other mediums beyond just a textbook was really nice to, yeah, feel immersed in the language.
I see. I really, to me, it was like English, because when I was growing up, all the medium was in like most of the culture stuff that we got into my country was in English.
Mm.
Music, video games, mm-hmm. movies, all this kind of stuff. And I was kind of forced to learn it.
Right.
Because we didn't have, it wasn't as accessible when I was a kid.
Mm.
But I ended up really liking the language.
Mm.
So when I grew up and I was in high school, I did like English courses in my country.
Okay.
Few, yeah. And high school level is so easy. Like, I didn't really learn much at high school.
Uh-huh.
And I will always get the best grades in English. Yeah, but moving here was really solidified everything.
Because
being forced to speak English every single day.
Right.
It was, here it was that I actually got it at the end.
Yeah. You know? Okay, wait. So, I have a question for you. Can I ask a question for you?
Yeah.
Because I was, like, thinking about language and also just being able to like present yourself in certain ways. Like I feel like one of the things that I'm thinking about right now is like I know very well how to communicate in English, obviously, and showcase the things about myself or explain things. And like when you're learning a new language, you don't have as much control over how people like see you or that kind of experience. What was that like for you? Like
frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I always at the beginning, especially not now anymore. Like I don't feel that way anymore, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, I always felt like I was dumber in English.
Right.
I was
no,
like, bro, I swear to God, I know how to talk better.
You're like, I'm smart, I swear.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, this is not me. Like, ask me in Spanish, I swear.
Yeah.
But you know, it's funny. I've been in January, I'm going to be 10 years since I left.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like, it's funny, but sometimes I'm talking to my family in Spanish, and I completely forget these few words. And I'm like, how do I say that in Spanish? And then I try to say it in English. And it's like, I'm not going to understand this. How do I say it? And then I have to Google it or something.
Oh, my goodness.
It happens sometimes. And it's like, it's funny how, I don't know, my mind sometimes adapts so much to this new language.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm never going to forget Spanish and I'm always going to speak it super fluent, but sometimes that happens.
Right.
It's and also, there's words that you have in English that you definitely don't have in Spanish and vice versa. There are some things that are easier for me to explain in Spanish than in English, too.
Interesting.
Yeah. Mm. I love, that's why, you know, like languages to me are so like rich. And when I learn English, I learned so much about that. It like opened.
Right.
Because then I start watching things that were only in English,
mm-hmm.
reading books that are only in English, seeing these things. Also, when you read things or watch things that were meant in that language.
Yeah.
It's like it gives you a different perspective when you watch it like dub or.
Totally. Yeah.
And then I've been thinking so much about how much media we actually lost for not knowing the language. Wow, it's mind blowing to me, but I feel grateful with the English and I definitely want to learn more languages. It's hard.
Yeah, I feel when I was in college, I studied Arabic and I definitely felt that same way where I was like, whoa, there's so much like, so much music, so much like food, so much other like aspects of culture and even the way the like words are structured, like it's so it's so interesting. And I feel like also learning language in community is such a fun way to bring people together.
I really like so much like the whole cultural and like the whole background in general of Arabic language. I really love the word inshallah. Oh my God, that word to me is so beautiful.
Mm.
And the whole meaning behind is so powerful. I really like inshallah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Arabic people use it a lot. And I don't know, I really like it. It's when I watch this show called Rami.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I love that show. Yeah.
And they talk a lot about that. And that's when I learned more about it. And I was like, wow, this is such a... This is funny because in Spanish, we have a similar one, which is ojalá.
Ojalá, yeah.
And I think it's in a way, they can be very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we kind of, we went to another room, but I want to come back to, I wanted to talk to you about the wellness routine that you have, but I also want to ask you first if you think that this community support wellness.
This community being?
Like the community around you.
Okay.
Not just the hub, but like, you know, the whole.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like I've definitely surrounded myself with people who are more, like, prioritize wellness more. But I think there are certain things about, like, New York City, for example, that don't necessarily promote wellness. So, I think it's definitely been a choice, or I've noticed that it's more of a choice than I thought it was before, of trying to create an environment for myself where I can make that a priority more easily.
Right. I like how you put it, because it's true. It's more of you have to put an effort into get in there, because there is not that much access. There's actually, they don't push through it enough.
Like, right.
You know, whatever the city, the government, whatever, they really, I feel like that's a lack of wellness in general.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get into it, you have to put work to get into it.
Yeah. And there's a lot, like, just like dominant culture and narratives in general don't really promote wellness in a way that's like holistic. There's like a very skewed version of wellness.
Right. Yeah, that's so true. Does your family practice wellness?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, there's definitely like things that they do that are relaxing to some degree, but I feel like sometimes the work-life balance or other things isn't always how I would, you know, prioritize them. But yeah, I've definitely, it's a conversation I've definitely had with my sister a lot. So it's nice to have somebody in the family to talk about that with.
Nice, I see. I want to ask you about your eating habits. Tell me, what are your eating habits? Like, are they either healthy?
For the most part, I do love a little treat.
Right.
But I generally like to cook food, and I feel my I learned a lot of how to cook from my dad, who went to cooking school when we were in middle school.
That's so cool.
Yeah, he just went so that he could like learn how to cook for us, like not to go cook in a restaurant or anything else.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a super nice thing to do for your kids.
It's like, so sweet.
Real.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of how I learned how to like cook and how to create meals and things.
Did you know how to make arepas?
We didn't make them together, did we?
No.
Okay, I made them with a few friends, so.
Oh, shoot.
I know. I should have brought, I have extra masa that I haven't been using, but they're good.
Yeah, I remember from the first time, like, I think we got some here and you got them, but you already knew about them. And I was like, and you said you liked them. And I was like, dude, how do you know about this? Why?
Because
it's not common. You know?
Right. One of my really good friends from high school is, his family's from Venezuela. And so we, like, when I would go over to his house, we would make them together. Or his mom would make them, actually.
Yeah.
And she's a really good
chef. Yeah, yeah. Mom's ones are always top shelf. Like,
yeah.
To me, I always tell people, whenever people make me arepas, they ask me like, okay, give me a rate. And I never give them the max rate, because I always say, that's only for my mom. The 10 out
like,
of 10. That's
the bar is here. You're never going to
meet
it.
Yeah, right. No, you're not going to get there.
Correct.
What would you say is like your food access in the city, and how does that affect what you create?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely been like a process learning how to get groceries in the city and like figure out things. It's I'm never here for Tuesday distro, so unfortunately I don't get like that kind of food. But the place that I used to teach, Pilates, had like a really, really cheap produce store right nearby. And I think what I've tried to like sometimes have trouble with, because I have a lot of different, you know, things that I'm going around to between like dance rehearsal and volunteering and things like that is being able to prep meals beforehand, you know? So it's like, I have to make sure I have enough time to buy the groceries and then enough time to cook the meals and then enough time to eat the meal. You know, there's a lot of pieces. And sometimes I get like one piece and not the other. Like,
no, I completely
okay,
get
I like
it.
Have the groceries, but I don't have time to cook them. Or yeah. like I cooked them, but I forgot to bring that. Like, there's just
that's
like things
such
like
a
that.
Valid thing yeah. to say, actually. You know, right now, like, for example, my family they were finally able to all move here. Like my family is, I have two younger brothers mm-hmm. and my mom and my dad.
Okay.
So the four of them are living together in Delaware.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm going to see them in 2 weeks.
Exciting.
In 2 weeks. Yeah. It's my brother's birthday.
Oh
so
my God.
I'm going to go there for the weekend. Yeah. And have fun. I want to go to Cheesecake Factory.
Yes. Oh, I love the Cheesecake Factory. How old is he turning?
What's that?
How old is he turning?
23.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and he said he really want to go there. And anyways, I was going to tell you that. So they move here. So my dad and my younger brother, the youngest one, they found a job in this factory that is actually a really good job. Mm-hmm. It's not like physically it's not super bad for them. Mm. They work sitting down. It's,
okay.
Yeah. And the times are really good too. It's like a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a really good one. And sometimes my dad does extra like either kind of DoorDash or stuff mm-hmm. like that. So they are it's going well because in Venezuela things were really bad. They weren't really making any mm-hmm. money. But my mom is not working right now.
Mm-hmm.
So she cooks for them.
Right.
And there are three big guys. So she always talked to me how like she feels the cooking and cleaning of the house is it already feels like a job, like a full-time job.
Yeah, that is a full-time job, yeah.
Right? Yeah, because she has to do laundry for all of them. She has
right.
to cook for all of them. And it's funny. But they are very nice with her. Like they always give her money too. Like, there you go.
Wages for housework.
Yeah, right. Yeah. She wants to work, but she has a strong barrier with the language.
Mm.
And she just told me next week she's gonna start an English course.
Wow.
Yeah,
oh,
she's
that's
really
exciting.
Excited.
Oh my God.
She's 60. So to me that's very impressive and like admirable.
Yeah.
But she really wants to learn. She really,
yeah.
really wants
I know. Maybe her and my dad can get a language
yeah,
swap.
Yeah, right. She met your mom too, remember?
Yeah.
That was really nice. Okay. I want to ask you about your exercise, but I bet like for you dancing, it's like you do so much energy there, right? Like
yeah.
you do so much when you dance.
It depends because some like I because rehearsals are not super consistent, like it'll be a lot 1 week and then like not other weeks and things like that. I generally have like other things that I do and then we'll kind of add on dance whenever dance is there. Yeah.
I see. But would you say that's your exercise, right? Or you do go to a gym and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Dude, how do you find that energy? Oh my God. Like you do it weekly?
Yeah. So I'll do like weightlifting or like Pilates or yoga.
Wow, you're strong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, you should come to the show because then I'm lifting people up and stuff.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're so tiny.
I know.
Wow, that's so cool. That's so cool for our respect. I want to ask you also about if you have any specific spiritual practices or beliefs.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up like Jewish, but that felt more in a cultural way than a spiritual way.
Okay.
I feel like most of my Judaism at this point is revolving around organizing.
Okay.
I talked with Kai about this a lot actually, and it was nice to, just get to talk more about the space of like anti-Zionist Judaism.
Right.
But in terms of spirituality, I think that's something that the Hub is introduced in an interesting way, where when we used to have the wellness, it's the thing on Thursday, I forget what we called it. Like,
I forgot also, but it was wellness something.
Right. And like, I remember sitting with like Sarah and Yoli and just hearing about them talk about spirituality in a way where I was like, whoa, like this, this feels really interesting to be connected to something or, it feels like a sense of balance and bringing in that wellness like we were talking about, like right. like grounding in a way.
That's so good to know that you got to live that here.
Yeah.
I had a few good memories with those Thursdays as mm-hmm. well. Yeah. I did some meditations here that were really nice for me. Like it was right what I needed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, I want to talk now a little bit about consumption. You mentioned earlier about the book club. So I want you to tell me a little bit more about what books do you read, what podcasts you listen, TV, movies, shows, and social media.
Okay. I'm gonna lie. I don't listen to podcasts.
Okay,
but I'll listen to this one.
We are right there. I don't listen to podcasts.
Oh my god!
Either.
Okay, thank you.
I do listen to this one.
Yeah, exactly. This one's the exception to the rule. Because I was saying this is like, I don't know. Every time I listen to a podcast, I remember where I am when I'm listening to it, which is really weird. Because then I'm like, every time I walk down this one street, I'm like, oh, this is what happens in the podcast. And I was like, I don't really want to be thinking about every line from a podcast when I walk down the street. Anyway, I feel like, I read a lot of books. I think in terms of personal stuff that I like to read, it's a mix between fiction and nonfiction. The fiction, I really like fantasy and sci-fi and also like historical fiction or a lot of stories that have like intergenerational plot lines. So it'll be like characters' families, like, and you get to know the character, the great, great, great grandma, and then like the granddaughter, and you get to see how the world changes around their lives, right. Which is really cool.
Dude, I want to suggest you seeing 100 Years of Solitude.
Oh, yeah.
Have you read that?
I like the magical realism stuff. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that one, because it's so generational. It's and it's so funny because in that book, all generations, they all have the same name. So it gets very confusing.
You're
like who's who? Like, what's going on?
That's so funny.
Yeah. Also, I mentioned this during Mars episode, but I'm going to tell you again because you kind of talk about those topics. Wild Seed. By Octavia Butler.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
When we were reading for book club, The Parable of Sower, I had to stop because I was like, this book is too sad. Like, but her writing is so incredible.
I finished that one, but I didn't continue to the second one.
Yeah. But yeah, in terms of like nonfiction stuff, we've been reading in the book club, a lot of ecology stuff, which has been really interesting. I've also been doing a lot of research on somatics, and that's been really cool, just as a way to think about the body and how trauma is stored in the body. One of my scribing mentors did this workshop on somatic scribing where they talked about like how we recognize trauma in the individual body, in like our collective cultural body, in our institutions. And it's like so wild once you start to think about it, like how, the patterns of, you know, fight or flight or freeze, you have that as an individual, but you also have that as a culture when like the entire culture starts to dissociate and then you're, you know, like not paying attention to things. Then there's like all this misinformation, like all of this stuff. So it's drawing those connections, which have been really interesting.
Just talking about that, I have I'm 100%, I have a lot of trauma just regarding my leg.
Right, yeah.
Because I've been going through that since I was 4.
Because
it's been like, and I don't have any memories before I was 4, right?
So
It's
your
like
whole,
my whole life, right. Yeah. All that I can remember. So
yeah.
It's always around that. That's why whenever I go to hospitals, I get very stressed. As soon as I enter the hospital, it's like, it changed the whole body for me. It's like, I feel heavy, I feel stressed, tired already. It's like, they really drain me.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, right, some of that is just being in that and feeling that. And then thinking about, there's a couple terms that I've just learned that were really interesting. One is like, they call it blending, where it's like you have something, it's like not ignoring the pain that you have or the experiences you have, but like trying to find resource in other places where like, I don't know, like, for example, you are such a music person that like, you know, thinking about, okay, well, like, if music was part of this experience, like even though it's really uncomfortable and stressful, like maybe there's a way to regulate or make yourself feel a little more safe in a place that like has held a lot of like stress.
I have shared this actually a lot. Everybody who asked me about music, but I feel like music definitely saved my life because I got to a point in life long time ago that I was very depressed and I feel like music definitely took me out of it.
It
completely lifted my like everything. I just wanted to keep creating and making more. It was just so interesting to me. And then when I learned about audio engineering, like it was like understanding all the things behind music. It's like wow, it was another world for me. I love it for real. But I want to talk to you now about like this media you talk about. How do you think that affects you?
I mean, this is also something that I've been trying to explore in my art a little bit. But like, for example, social media, I feel like I don't engage with it in the way that I want to, or it just is confusing, you know, because there's some people, like there's a lot of ways that it's been really helpful and incredible where I've met other artists, I've been able to like find opportunities, I've made like really interesting connections. But then there's also just like so much content and like some of it is like really intense and like showcasing violence and oppression and things that we should be seeing. Like I feel like because it's a combination of like a news source and like a social platform, there's just like weird like things that are very disjointed about it, and being able to process that in a way that like feels actually, you know, relevant is really difficult.
No, I completely get it. Sometimes to me it's mind-blowing that I could be scrolling social media and I see something horrible, like a middle of destroying a city or something.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I see is a super beautiful kitty that was just born. And it's like, damn, this is so crazy. Like,
The
way we consume media. And I like that you highlighted too that it has this positive side. Because I'm thinking right now, you mentioned about describing, connecting with all these people. Right. So it's like it has a good side and a bad side. And I think the main issue, the main problem is that the way I see it, the companies, they just want to mostly highlight the bad side of it. Because I think they really want to exploit us to get like more content and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So they create all these trends, all the shit. It's like, I don't know. It feels weird to me, off.
Totally. And I think it's also one of those things where most of the people that I engage with, you know, use it in a similar way where it's like, okay, every so often you're checking in on your friends and you're like, you know, looking at art and things and less so participating in big trends and using it as like an influencer kind of platform.
Right.
But yeah, you see that stuff regardless, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay, let's go to the $1 million question. Okay, so these questions we always ask to everybody that comes here is kind of the last questions. And, well, not the last, there's another one coming, but...
Penultimate.
Yeah. So first, they are all kind of similar, but first I want to ask you if you create better when you're in comfort or in a struggle.
Ooh, interesting. I feel like I've tried to make the conditions more comfortable for myself. But honestly, like it's, I don't know. I think comfort is like an interesting word and I'm not sure what it means or it could change. Right. I feel like urgency is often a word that I associate with like struggle and not with comfort. And I think that's something that I've been trying to, yeah, I feel like I have like a complicated relationship where like sometimes like having something be urgent is good to have a deadline, to have like a reason why, like something to work towards.
I see.
But also we live in such a culture of urgency that it's like sometimes like things happen better when you have the time to really think about it, to feel through it. So it's not just whatever is coming straight out, you know?
Yeah.
I have to think about that one. I don't really know.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, I really like having deadlines. And I'm very straight with people about that. Because they really push me. And I feel like I work well when I'm under pressure. Like, you know, when I know, like, especially, like, it's like I know myself, right? So I know where my capabilities and skills are.
Right.
So I know when somebody give me a task, if they need it by Sunday night, I know that if I start Sunday morning, I'll have it super good ready by Sunday night.
Yeah.
It's not ideal. But I know when I can start something when I have the deadline, you know?
Right.
So, okay, I know if they want this next Monday, I can start 5 days before and then I'll have it ready.
Yeah, exactly.
That works a lot for me. And now I want to ask you, would you rather couch hopping versus queen size bed?
Is that like moving around or having one big bed, or like,
I don't know, this question is always, I always tell people, it's like, it's whatever the way you feel it, the okay. perspective, like,
yeah,
because to me, like, I feel like I've been in both situations and it really just depends, I think.
Yeah, I mean I like couch hop. One, I'm small, so I don't mind sleeping on the couch. Yeah.
You're really fitting any couch for real.
Yeah.
I had a friend. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you go for it.
But it's just you remind me that I have this friend who's so tall. I swear, he's so tall. He doesn't fit in any sofa, like laying down.
Yeah.
We have to find like an extra large couch. So now that I think about it, couch hopping is a issue for tall people.
Exactly. Wow. That's why I'm like, okay, being short sure has disadvantages, but on the airplane, on a couch,
right.
like you're living, you know?
Right.
And I also really like, you know, couch hopping, visiting friends. I think that's something that I've started to appreciate more, is like little trips to see friends, just to spend time with them in person. And I've gotten to do that a lot this past summer, which has been nice.
Yeah. I feel like in Venezuela, we had that kind of in our culture already, because we do a lot of couch hopping there. You know, like if we're gonna visit somewhere, you just go and stay there for the weekend or stuff like that. I'm so used to it that to me it's really normal.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
And last questions of this section is low budget versus large budget.
I'm a little bit conflicted, because on one hand, I feel like I've learned so much from Collective Focus about how like mutual aid and abundance can really change the way that you create and
right.
bring in community.
Mm-hmm.
But also I'm like, everybody deserves to have what they need, you know? And so I feel I haven't been on a lot of large budget projects, but I would imagine if I did, like, it would feel really nice to be able to redistribute that resource, in a way where people feel like their time is being honored.
I think the biggest project, now that you mentioned that I have been on, I worked once in a Broadway musical.
Whoa, what?
Yeah,
oh my
only
God.
Once in my life,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, but tell the story.
It was actually the first ever TikTok musical.
Whoa.
And it was live. Like, it was a TikTok live. They rehearsed for like a whole week. And we were there, and they paid me a lot of money. And it was a good time for me to get that money, because I was struggling. Because I was freelancing, and the thing with freelance is that some months are horrible.
Mm-hmm, right.
I wasn't one of those months.
Yeah.
And then in 1 week, I made like the 2 months money, and I was like, okay, this is really good.
Was it the Ratatouille one, or was there another?
No, okay. I can't remember right now the name, but it was very silly. And it had all this influencers, you know, really young kids, like, not kids, but like,
right,
12,
like,
yeah, and it was really cute, actually, like, but it was so, I don't know, it was so much budget, like, I was very impressed, and honestly, my job was so easy, so incredibly easy, like, because I was the audio guy,
right,
so, But I had I wasn't the lead, so I had somebody on top of me.
Oh, so you're just, yeah. You're
right,
just
I'm just supporting. And the support role is so easy, because all we have to do is put microphones for them.
Yeah,
and
you did a great job.
It was so easy, and I got paid so much money, and I was honestly thinking, like, dude, like, that's so weird to me, like, to get paid so much money to not do that much.
Right. Yeah. That's when you're like, oh, is labor fake? Like, is a wage fake?
Right. Because I was also thinking, I sometimes, like, I do for some gigs so much and I get paid so
right.
little.
Exactly. You're like, this doesn't really check out. Yeah.
And you know, the guy who was the audio lead guy in that venue, I talked to him a lot, and he told me, I used to do what you do, like, I do mixing mostly for mm-hmm. like music.
Okay.
And he told me, I used to do that, but once I discover like show business, I completely switched because the money's here. And
yeah.
He said, and the job is easy.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, wow, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, for real. It's just, I don't know. You don't have to also... And from my perspective, you don't really need that much knowledge. You do need it. Like, you need at least, like, a college title at first, I feel. But, I don't know. It felt like, to me, what I do outside of that is way more complex. And,
right, yeah.
And it feels like I need way more knowledge to, yeah, I don't know.
Than to set up a microphone.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's like, that's it. I'm getting, it felt weird.
Yeah.
When I got the check, mail to my home, I was like, this is weird, man.
You're like, did I deserve it? Yeah. No, it's weird.
Yeah. All right, let's do some closing remarks before we go. The first one is there anything you would like to tell to your younger self?
Oof. Big one. I think... I feel like probably... I don't know. There's always the like, okay, you shouldn't care about what other people think of you, but like, I feel like there's something in like, being okay with being more authentic or like seeing, I don't know. I think it took me like seeing other, having examples in my life of people just being themselves and showing up really authentically in that, that allowed me to feel okay doing that. And so... Yeah, I don't know if telling somebody would really make that that much sense. Like, I feel like growing into that, you know, was like, right. It's been nice to see that growth. Yeah.
Right. But I love that. And just before we go, do you have anyone you want to shout out?
Johan. Shouting out Johan.
Or Rohan, I know. However you prefer it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we got to do this. I'm so happy that we've gotten to, like, know each other over the past couple years, and then I've gotten to see all of your art and incredible creativity and all of the ways that you like bring people into this space and make them feel welcome. So I really, really appreciate that.
I appreciate that from you. I honestly, for real, I feel really sad because I wasn't able to see you dance in a show properly, you know?
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of your stories and videos and it looks really cool.
Now I'm going to have to give a private performance.
Yeah, you gotta come back to your
exactly.
Point.
No, we'll do a little collab.
Yeah. Oh, shoot, dude. Okay. Now you put it, it's on the record.
It's
here.
There. It's on the record.
We're going to deliver this episode and I'm going to call you like, hey, you remember this?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. It's there. Thank you so much, Emma.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you for all this time here. I feel like you put so much work into the hub and I feel really sad that you're leaving, but I understand that you have to go into this path, and I'm also glad for you because Mexico City is beautiful for what I know, and I have a few friends there and I think you're gonna love it, and it's like a new experience. It does always sounds fun to me.
Yeah
so good luck there.
Thank you.
Yeah, when you listen to this you're probably gonna be there already. But have fun.
Yay.
Okay, thank you for coming today.
Bye.
Thank you for everything. Bye. Thank you for listening, guys. See ya. 감사합니다.